That's right. Just a quick word of prayer. Father God, I just pray that the word that goes forth today would minister to the hearts, God, and just pray that we'd be able to take something from this that we'll use for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I got some good news for you today, and it's called Going to the Top. How many here can stand some good news today?
Amen.
It's called Going to the Top. Defeating and letting go of your negative past. And just here to tell you today that God has got something wonderful for you in store this year. You know, we're in the first quarter of the year, 2009, and still kind of the beginning of the year. And I'm just here to encourage you that God has got a miracle in His hand for your taking this year. God is the author of good. He is a good God, and He's got it for you. You receive it by faith, and He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. I don't care what anybody's told you in the past. If they said to you that you were a mistake or an accident going somewhere to happen, they were speaking inspired of the devil, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Now, some of you may have heard this message before, but it bears repeating. It's a word of encouragement. Imagine this. I want you to envision in your life this imaginary ladder, an imaginary ladder. From bottom to top. All right, and right now in your life, you may feel like you're at the very bottom rung of this ladder. You may feel lower than the bottom. You may feel like you're below the base. You know, some of you may feel so low, I've heard it said, that you feel like you can maybe do a push-up under a penny. Anybody ever been there? And you know what? God is wanting you to climb higher and higher this ladder in your life, in different areas of your life. And I'm not just speaking hot air today. This is from the Word of God. God is wanting you to go to the top. He's wanting you to go higher. Turn to Deuteronomy 28, if you have a Bible, verse 13. If not, I'll read it to you. The first few verses of Deuteronomy 28 say this. It talks about developing your relationship with Almighty God. And it talks about listening and obeying the Lord God's commandments. And in verse 13, it says this. It says, if you listen to God, if you obey His commandments, in verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Always at the top and never at the bottom. God wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to be the lender and not the borrower. He wants you always to be at the top and not at the bottom. But you may be at the bottom today. And you can climb little by little to the top. You know, you may feel like you're at the bottom financially. But God is wanting you to climb higher and higher financially. You may feel like you're at the bottom in your relationships. You can climb higher in your relationships. You can reconcile those broken relationships. You may feel like you're at the bottom health-wise. But God is wanting you to climb higher. He's wanting to give you health in your body, in your job, in your finances. You may feel like you're at the bottom. But God is wanting you to climb this ladder in your life until you start reaching the top. Is this making sense? And you know, friends, it seems like, and it may seem like in your life, that every time you try to climb a rung to go higher, it's so difficult. And instead of going up, sometimes you feel like you're being pulled backwards. Something keeps trying to hold you down. And so I'm here to say today is this. Could that something be your past? Could that something be your past? Friends, you may have done some pretty bad things in your past. You know, and things you've said, things you've done to people. But let's leave the past where it belongs. It belongs in the past. Let's leave the regrets back there. Let's leave the I would've's, I could've's, I should've's right there. So you may have done some pretty bad things. Don't worry about it. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. Or maybe you're a pretty good person and maybe you haven't hurt anybody else. But maybe some other people have messed up against you. In things that they've said and things that they've done, they have messed up against you. Maybe they've offended you. Maybe they've insulted you. And so you keep going back to that offense. And living in the past. And friends, if you're living in the past, if you keep looking back at the past, you'll become imprisoned by the bars called the past. And we don't want to be there, right? It's like if you're driving a car right? If you're driving a car, if you're always looking backward, you can never go forward. So let's stop looking backwards and let's start looking forwards with our lives in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I want to talk for the next few minutes about defeating and letting go of your negative past. Defeating and letting go of your negative past. Now, let me ask you this. Who is the one that keeps bringing up your negative past? What's that? Okay, this man says ourselves. Anybody else? Okay, that's the devil. There it is. The devil in Revelation 12:10 is considered, he's called the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who accuses, he's the one who condemns, he's the one who puts guilt trips. So I want to read you a little email that I received some time back, and it kind of illustrates the point pretty well. It's called The Devil and the Duck. The Devil and the Duck. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hid the duck in a woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." Then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. You get the picture here? After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window when I saw the whole thing, but because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a fool of you." Thought for the day and every day thereafter. Whatever's in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, debt, fear, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window when he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, he not only forgives you, but he forgets. It is by God's grace and mercy that we are saved. Sally is like that devil. The devil is like Sally, right? He keeps bringing up the past. And friends, God is wanting you to go to the top. He's wanting you to go forward. When he tries bringing up your past, remind him of his future. What does his future hold? His future holds an eternity in the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20, verse 10. Just tell him, "You know what, Satan? You have no authority over me. Stop bringing up my past. The Word of God says that your future is in the lake of fire forever and ever." You know, one thing that scares the daylights, he doesn't have any daylights in him, but the one thing that scares him to death, scares the devil to death, is what?
His future.
Jesus. His destiny.
Okay? That's it. Who said that? The Word of God. The Word of God scares the devil. When you quote the Word of God to him, he flees out of your life. And what does the Word of God say in Romans 8:1? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil is the one that tries to bring guilt and condemnation into your life. When he tries to bring it and tries to bring up your past, quote him Romans 8:1. Remember Jesus in the wilderness. He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. He was at his weakest. And the devil comes up to him, sly old devil, and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to be made into bread." What did Jesus do? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quoted, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. Second temptation, he said, you know, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. He'll command his angels concerning you. They'll lift you up in their hands. You won't strike your foot against a stone, Jesus said. It is also written. That's it. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And finally, what did he say? The devil said, you know what? If you bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Every time Jesus responded to those temptations with what?
Word.
With the word straight out of Deuteronomy. And it says in verse 11, the key verse, Matthew 4:11, that the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Friends, we need to imitate Jesus Christ. When the enemy tries to attack you, you quote the word of God. And like with Jesus, he will flee out of your life. But to know the word, like this lady here, she knew Romans 8:1, to know the word, you've got to do what with the word? You've got to be studying the word of God. You've got to be reading the word of God. You've got to be storing it up on the inside. You may not be able to read a whole bunch of chapters in a day, but read two or three scriptures. Get the Word of God in your mind and in your spirit so that when you need it, you'll be able to quote it and the devil will flee from your life. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the first key to letting go of your negative past, to defeating your negative past is by doing what? Is by quoting the Word of God. To be doers of the Word, but to quote the Word of God, you've got to have it stored up. The second major key to defeating your negative past that keeps coming up in your mind is by doing this, is by seeing yourself as the Almighty God sees you. Seeing yourself as God sees you. How many here have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? You know what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Paul the Apostle writes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Did you know that every sin that you committed up until the point you accepted Christ the Savior was forgotten and forgiven in the heart of God? Let me say that again. Every sin that you ever committed up until the point you accepted Christ as Savior was forgotten and forgiven in the heart and in the mind of God. So that when God looks at you, He sees a brand new creation. He sees you as a brand new slate. He sees you as justified, righteous before God through the work of Christ. What is just? When you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. When God looks at you, He sees you justified, just as if I had never sinned. And it's good for God to look at you that way, but you've got to start looking at yourself that way as well. You've got to see yourself exactly as God sees you. Now, we're coming up to Easter, right, in April. And lots of churches put on Easter dramas. Victory Christian Center is doing one. And I've got Kevin come up here for a quick illustration. Say that in this Easter drama, Kevin is playing the part of Jesus. And so they have people out there on the stage, you know, in Israel, in the days of Israel, doing their things, going about their daily activities. And at some point, Kevin, who plays the part of Jesus, walks out on stage. He's dressed up as Jesus would have dressed. So when Kevin walks out, let me ask you this. Are you thinking about Kevin or are you thinking about Jesus? You're thinking about Jesus, right? Your concentrations, your focus, your attention is on Jesus, not on Kevin. When he walks out playing the part of Jesus, you see Jesus. Friend, I'm here to tell you today. I am here to tell you today that when God looks at you, he sees Jesus, the sinless one. Never forget that. He sees you justified, as I said, just as if I had never sinned. In John chapter 8. How many here remember the lady caught in adultery? John chapter 8. These Pharisees, these teachers of the law, they came to Jesus in the temple and said, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Verse 4. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Verse 6, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. So, these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, they were kind of writing in their minds, condemnation, the law, condemnation, the law. And Jesus bends down and he begins to write in the sand. Right? When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I wonder what he was writing on the ground. He was writing down mercy and grace. See, these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, they were writing law, condemnation, condemn her, stone her to death. Jesus was writing, be merciful, be gracious. Okay. Verse 9, at this those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. And this is what Jesus says. Then neither, verse 11, do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. See, in the mind of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus, this woman's act of adultery was forgiven and forgotten. Those Pharisees tried to bring it up. They tried to bring up a recent past. That's what the devil is like. But in the heart of God, when you say, God, I messed up. I confess my sin to you. He is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins. God sees Jesus when he looks at you. Does that make sense? That making sense? And but you may need a job. You may need a job or a better job. Maybe you want a job at Walmart. And you might be thinking in your mind, well, you know what, man? I shoplifted one time in the past at Walmart or at some store. And I don't really know if I can get a job there. That's the devil, friends. God is saying, no, you're a brand new creation. I see you now as an honest person. You're not a shoplifter. And that's the way you've got to start seeing yourself, as an honest person. And think to yourself, I'm going to climb this rung in the ladder of my life. I will get this job. You know, you may want to teach God's word. But maybe at one point in the past, you down-talked the word of God. And the enemy tries to bring it up. But when God looks at you, he says, no, you're a brand new creation. I see you as one who loves my word. And friend, that's the way you've got to start seeing yourself, as somebody that loves the word of God, because God sees you that way. And you think to yourself, I'm going to climb the rung in this ladder of my life. I am going to teach the word of God. And you know what? You may need physical healing in your body. And the devil may try to whisper your past to you. Well, you abused alcohol and drugs in the past. And God says, no, you're a brand new creation. You're a clean slate. You are justified, just as if I had never done drugs and alcohol. That's the way God sees you. God sees you as somebody who loves your body, this temple of God. You know your body is the temple of God? That's the way God sees you. God sees you as somebody who cares for his or her body. And that's the way you've got to start seeing yourself, as someone who cares for this temple of God. And you've got to think to yourself, you know what? I am climbing the rung in this ladder of my life. I will receive my physical healing in Jesus' name. Maybe you want a long-term relationship with the opposite sex. And the devil may whisper, well, you know what? You disrespected the opposite sex in the past. But God says, no, you are a brand new creation. When I look at you, I see somebody who respects the other person. And that's the way you've got to see yourself. The way God looks at you is the way you've got to look at yourself. Amen? I will climb the rung in this ladder of my life called relationships. Those broken relationships will be reconciled. Don't let your past hold you down, friend. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. The Word of God says, that as a man, as a woman thinks within himself, herself, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act towards yourself. Right? The way you think about yourself will be the way you act towards yourself. Start thinking about yourself as God does, as somebody who has been redeemed and justified. And as you do that, you will break away from the bonds of the past and go forward with God's plan and purpose for your life. God has got something good for you, friend, this year. And you know, you might have been thinking today, well, you know what? I've really been a pretty good person in the past. I haven't done much wrong, but as I said earlier, some other people have done me wrong. So a lot of people, when they think about their past, they think about the wrong that others have done towards them and the offenses others have committed against them. How do you break free from that? How do you break free from the offense or offenses that others have committed against you? What's the solution? What's the healing ointment? Forgiveness. I was hearing a preacher last night on TV at an ORU chapel service, and he said this. He said, offenses are inevitable. Forgiveness is an option. Say that again. Offenses are inevitable. Forgiveness is an option. In other words, offenses will come. Even Jesus said it. But you've got to choose to forgive. You know, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll take that seed of offense and allow it to be planted in the soil of their heart. And if you nurture that offense, if you talk about it and think about it and meditate on it, that seed of offense would want to become a root of bitterness. And God forbid, then a tree of hatred. How many here want a root of bitterness growing up on the inside of them? Not me. How about you? So how do you uproot any bitterness? By forgiveness, releasing the person of the debt you feel like they owe you. Friend, if you hold on to offense and bitterness concerning the wrong a person has done to you in the past, it's like drinking acid and expecting your offender to die. It only affects you negatively when you don't forgive. But when you choose to forgive, it releases you. It frees you to let go of the past and go on with the good thing that God has for you. You know, just several years ago, just a personal example here, I think the best way to illustrate it is maybe in the area of finances. There was a certain friend who told me, Jonathan, I need you to lend me this amount of money. So I lent him this amount of money, and he said, man, he says, I'll pay you back within a week or two. I said, okay, that's fine. So I lent it to him. So the week or two goes by, and never paid me back. About a month went by, never paid me back. 2 months went by, and never paid me back, and it's probably like $200. 3 months, 4 months, and I started feeling a little bit of offense kind of growing up on the inside of me. I was like, man, the seed of offense is being planted in the soil of my heart. Why doesn't he, you know, pay back? And it was starting to become like a root of bitterness, and I just sensed the voice of God say, Jonathan, just forgive him. Release him of the debts that he owes you. And so I communicated with this guy, this friend of mine, and so you know what, brother, you are forgiven of that debt. You don't owe me a penny. He communicated back about a week later. He said, Jonathan, I do so appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You know what, friends? I could have chosen to not forgive, and I could have been like broken in relationship with this person, but I chose instead the option of forgiveness. And I'm still friends with this person today. We talk every so often, and it's awesome. It's awesome, friend. It's awesome. It's liberating to walk in forgiveness. It's a way to defeat the negative things that have been done to you in the past by others. All right. Well, you may think sometimes, well, Jonathan, forgiveness is so difficult. How many here have found forgiveness to be difficult? It's tough to do. Somebody has really insulted you, really offended you deeply, cut you to the core. It's tough to do. And in ourselves, we can't do it. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. Three times he begged God to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made evident in your weakness. Friends, when you get weak and you can't forgive, just say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your strength. I need your grace. And friends, he will supernaturally implant his grace and his power into you to overcome any offense and bitterness. Amen. You know, when that happens to you, when somebody offends you, it can be a platform, an opportunity for God's grace to be made evident in your life. Amen. So others will look at you and say, wow, that person is a walking miracle. I want to serve the God that he serves, that she serves. He walks in forgiveness. He walks in liberation and freedom. I want to serve that God. Others will be testified to, and they'll accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. So friends, it's time to defeat the negative past that has tried to hold us down. Amen?